As we begin to approach the Passover this year, and it's just less than 2 weeks now, I'm sure we are all examining ourselves. Following the instructions of the Bible, we can read in the Bible about a human being's heart. God is not talking about the heart that pumps blood. We can read about a stony heart, a heart that is lifted up, a heart that is hardened, a heart that is perverse, proud, wicked, rebellious, deceitful, and you could go on and on with descriptions of this heart that God has given to us in the Bible. We know that as God calls us, there's a change in the heart that occurs. There's a healing of the heart that occurs. We can also read in the Bible about a pure heart, a meek heart, a lowly heart, a true heart, and the most common, probably a broken and a contrite heart. As we examine ourselves preparing for the Passover this year, let's be sure to examine our individual heart. As God looks down upon us individually, looking at you, looking at me, how would God describe your heart? We could read in the Bible, well, he looked at David and he was a man after God's own heart. God has a heart. And he was a man after God's own heart. Well, what would he say about you? What would he say about me? Today I would like to focus our attention on what the Bible calls our heart. We will see the bad. We're going to see the ugly. But yes, we're going to see the good regarding the heart. If you'd like a title for this sermon, the title is simply Examination of Our Heart. Examination of our heart. We need to begin by considering, first of all, and we're not going to spend a lot of time doing so, we need to consider that the heart of God and the heart of Jesus Christ is perfect in every single adjective that you can come up with. Absolutely perfect, pure, humble, gentle, compassionate, merciful. You can just keep going on and on. Their heart is perfect. Our desire is to repent from our tainted heart, our carnal heart, and repent from the thoughts that come from that evil heart, the desires that come from that evil heart, the selfishness, the anger, the criticism that comes from that carnal heart. We strive to repent of and allow God to change and to heal our heart. Our wicked and evil carnal heart, we've all agreed that we're to bury it with that old man. It needs healed. Our heart needs healed, brethren. Those individuals that God has called today are now going through a healing process. That's being you and me, one day at a time. What is our role in this process? We're in complete control, right? What is our role in this process? Brethren, it's to submit ourselves fully to God. He's our potter. We are just a hunk of clay. He's molding us. He's developing us. And he's healing us one day at a time. He allows us to see the sins. He allows us to see the results that's coming from the wrong side of our heart. And he's asking us to repent and change, to submit, to obey his instructions, and to apply it into our life. We can read throughout the Bible about this human being's heart that is described. What is God talking about when he teaches us about our heart? We've already mentioned it's not the heart that pumps blood. In the Bible, the word heart is typically a reference to everything that makes us unique. You are unique. I am unique. I have strengths and weaknesses that you don't have. You are different. I am different. My heart is different than your heart. And God's working with you most likely much differently than He is with me. To talk about the heart is to talk about a core of a person. I'm talking down deep. Forget the facades. Forget the patting yourself on the back. Forget all of the different things that occurs. We're talking about who and what you are down to the core in your person. Where your thoughts come from. Where your feelings come from. Your criticisms, your encouragements, your happiness, your being miserable. It comes from your heart. To talk about this heart, it comes from our core, where our attitudes, thoughts, feelings, mindsets come from. The heart is the sum total of our character, some describe it. The Bible uses the heart to refer to the innermost being of who and what we are. Our heart determines our character, good or bad. And this is what God is most concerned with. It's what God is most concerned with. I'm going to be using Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, and you don't have to turn there. I'm going to quote this for you. You know it very well. I'm going to use this one verse as a gauge today to gauge the heart. The instruction from God to the Apostle Paul in Romans 12 and verse 1, it says, the Apostle Paul exhorted all of us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's one. Submitting ourselves to God fully. He says, present our bodies as a living sacrifice to be holy. That's applying and obeying the instructions and the commands of God, because only God is holy. We can't be holy on our own. It's as we submit, as we begin to submit and apply His instructions, we begin to show holiness in God's eyes. So we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We are to be holy. And then the third thing, we are to be acceptable to God. If we're not acceptable to God, where do we stand? And then he goes on to say, which is our reasonable service. It's what's expected of us, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, to be holy, to be acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Pretty easy. Right? Our bodies have many members that we can use to either honor God or dishonor God. Our mouth can be used to honor God or dishonor God. Our actions can be used to honor God or dishonor God. What occurs in our heart must be acceptable to God. It must be acceptable to God. So we have to ask ourselves, does my heart honor God or dishonor God? That's part of our examination that I think we need to address before the Passover. Let's begin to focus on the heart that is described throughout the Bible. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 is where God was describing a very evil and wicked heart. We've read this in sermons before, and we'll probably continue to read it as a reminder. Genesis 6, beginning in verse 5. It says that the Eternal saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There was no good coming from this heart as God was describing it. It was evil continually. Verse 6, and the Eternal was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So God has a heart. And we can only conclude that it is perfect and pure in every way. And here this great God was describing human beings on the face of the earth at that time, that only evil was coming from their heart. Then we can go over to Genesis chapter 8, talking about Noah, who lived during this time on this earth with all of these wicked men that were evil continually. And let's see what Noah, where he was at. Where was his heart? What was his heart like in the midst of all of these people who were wicked? Take note that God accepted his behavior. Genesis 8, beginning in verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Eternal and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Eternal smelled, a soothing aroma. He was accepting this sacrifice that Noah was giving. The Eternal smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Eternal said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. So within God's own pure heart, he made a decision because of what he witnessed here. He made a determination of future events. We're beginning to see once God calls us, he wants us to begin to take on this soothing aroma. We can read about the example of Pharaoh, and during the time of the Passover, would be a beautiful time for you to go back and read about Pharaoh as he hardened his own heart. And then also to take note that God hardened it further for his own purpose. God told him what he should do, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he refused to submit to God. Think about it. Pharaoh was the god of the world at that time. He was it. He didn't answer to anyone at that time. And who was this god who was going to tell him what to do? He hardened his heart. It was not acceptable to God. It didn't show holiness. He didn't submit himself as a living sacrifice. Throughout the Bible, this evil carnal heart is described in different ways. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Here we're going to look at an example of a heart that is lifted up. This type of heart thinks too highly of himself. And we as human beings, most of us, have this issue. We think too highly of our own opinion. We lift ourselves up as more important than what we should. Deuteronomy 8, let's begin reading here in verse 11. It says, beware that you do not forget the Eternal your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful homes and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. Here we come in verse 14. When your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Eternal your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Then down to verse 17. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. You begin to take the credit yourself. This is the type of heart that is being described here. It's a heart that was not submitting themselves to God, showing holiness. It was not acceptable to God. We can look at Jeremiah's example, one of God's prophets. Jeremiah spent 40 years of his life warning his fellow people about God's judgment on Judah, constantly trying to change their heart, asking for them to repent. Jeremiah was being used by God to urge them to repent and to change their ways. Can you imagine with us living today, can you imagine spending 40 years of your life, as Jeremiah did, trying to help his people, but then watching helplessly as Babylon invaded his homeland and took his people captive? He spent 40 years as the prophet of God trying to help the people so they didn't have to suffer. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 4. Let's read a few scriptures in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 4, and let's begin reading here in verse 14. It says, O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. And how long shall your evil thoughts lodge within you? Down to verse 18. Your ways and your doings have procured these things for you. This is your wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reaches to your heart. It reaches down to the core of who and what they were. It wasn't a one-time event. That's not what he's talking about here. This character, the core, was bad. Here Jeremiah was telling them about their heart, and it needed to change. It was not acceptable to God. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Here Jeremiah delivers God's words here. Jeremiah 7, beginning in verse 23. It says, But this is what I commanded them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. It was embedded in the core of who and what they were, this evil heart that is being described here. Brethren, this description is not acceptable to God, using Romans 12, verse 1. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17. This is one of the more familiar scriptures regarding the heart. Jeremiah chapter 17. And let's begin in verse 1. It says, The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, with the point of a diamond. It is engraved on the tablet of their heart. The sin was engraved in their heart of who and what they were. Let's go over to verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things. Brethren, do you realize all of us, we can literally justify ourselves in anything we do? Whatever sin that we commit, we can justify ourselves, even murder. You could justify yourself that that person deserved it. Brethren, the heart, down deep, without God's intervention, is deceitful above all things, it says, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Eternal, search the heart. I test the mind. Do you believe God searches your heart, tests your mind? I guarantee you He tests me and tests my mind. I, the Eternal, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. Here we see that we cannot even trust our own heart. The carnal, deceitful, the wicked heart that we have of and by ourselves, it needs to be healed. It needs to be changed. We need God as our master potter to mold us. We are the hunk of clay. We are the puny dirt that he is molding and shaping us. We can deceive ourselves. We can justify everything. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, here we're going to look at the example of the ancient Israelites. The writer of Hebrews describes the ancient Israelites as having a heart of unbelief. They didn't believe God. They didn't have this faith in God. They didn't truly have the belief in him that God was desiring. Let's read here in Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Here the writer in Hebrews begins to quote from Exodus 17. It says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Then, beginning in verse 12, the writer of Hebrews begins to talk to the first era Christians at that time, and he's talking to us here. Verse 12, it says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Then down to verse 16. "For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpse fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey?" Those who did not submit themselves as a living sacrifice, but to those who did not obey, it says. Verse 19, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." We can read in verse 12, this evil heart of unbelief. Jonathan, could you bring me some water, please? He's talking about this evil heart of unbelief. Thank you. Excuse me. Brethren, we've spent time reading examples throughout the Bible describing a carnal heart. It's a heart that Satan has manipulated, tainted. He's taken advantage of. He's tempted us with our selfish passions, with our selfish desires, with the pride of life, as Mr. Hicks was discussing a little bit of. The carnal heart, without God's healing, it's evil. It's wicked. It's deceitful above all things. Before our calling, all of us was fully immersed with this evil and sick heart. We've all committed ourselves to put it to death with that old man. But brethren, as you well know, it keeps popping its head up, tempting us with selfish desires. We're critical, we're angry, we're selfish, at times. What heart does that come from? Does that come from a clean, pure heart that God's developing within us? Or is it coming from the carnal heart that we're trying to fight? Do we submit to our natural, evil, carnal heart too much that is not acceptable to God? Or are we beginning to submit ourselves and begin to have the encouragement coming from the heart that He's building, that He's healed? We begin to encourage instead of criticize. We begin to show mercy instead of writing somebody off. Are we merciful? Do we believe God? Or are we like the ancient Israelites who have a heart of unbelief? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. This will be the last one in Jeremiah. Thankfully, the great God has a pure and a perfect heart. He's willing to take the time to help each one of us, helps us show us our weaknesses. It's a beautiful thing when we see our sin. We're no longer hidden from it, and we can do something about it. He's going to help heal evil and wicked hearts. Jeremiah 31, beginning in verse 31. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Eternal, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Going down to verse 33. "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Eternal. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts." They're going to have a first chance with a clean heart. Can you imagine Vladimir Putin with a clean, pure heart? Do you think his actions will be different? He hasn't been given a chance yet. God says, "I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Verse 34, "No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Eternal, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Eternal. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Brethren, as God shows us our sin, He asks us to confess it, to admit it, and go before Him and ask for forgiveness. Guess what happens when we do that? He wipes it out. Clean. Clean slate. He forgets it. Us as human beings, it keeps popping up in our minds, right? He's pure in heart. In every way. And we can be thankful that He has this pure and perfect heart as He deals with us. Here's a prophecy that in the future, all people's heart will be healed, given an opportunity. All people will know God. They will be taught His laws, His commandments, as we are today. As we try to submit, try to create holiness in our life and be acceptable to God, all human beings will have that opportunity in the future. They will learn to make decisions with a new heart. Not this heart that Jeremiah was describing and all that we have read about up to this point. They will learn to have pure thoughts coming from a clean and pure heart. Righteous thoughts coming from the core of who and what they are. Not the negatives. Not being critical all the time. not being selfish and angry and all the negative adjectives. I mean, you can just separate in your life all the negative adjectives and all the positive adjectives. Whose heart do they come from? The carnal heart or the heart that God is beginning to heal and build within us? They will desire, brethren, to submit to God and be accepted by Him in the future. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 36. Here God describes about the future millennium, when people will have the opportunity for their hearts to be healed. Same way that we just read. Ezekiel 36. And let's begin reading here in verse 24. It says, "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I, the great God, will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." A new heart that comes from God. "I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness." Brethren, all of us could list out uncleanness in our lives that we need to admit to and confess to and ask for forgiveness. And this clean, pure heart begins to be developed in our core by the great God. He molds us. He develops us. He begins to create this core within us that pure thoughts come from, righteous thoughts, good actions, loving actions begins to come out. Brethren, Ezekiel and Jeremiah and all the prophets spent their lives trying to help Israel and Judah. During the millennium, God will help them. They will produce holiness. They will be acceptable to God. Brethren, can you imagine the last great day being fulfilled? When billions of stony and hardened hearts being ripped out and having spiritual heart transplants occur. And we're there to watch it. Billions of people that's given pure hearts and clean hearts where they can begin to make pure choices and pure thoughts and pure decisions in their life. They will be able to know God and learn God's law and begin to be that living sacrifice, submitting themselves to God, striving to have that holiness in their lives, and be acceptable to God. Beautiful thing to think about. We have spent time in this sermon describing the ugliness of our carnal hearts, and we all know them better than anybody else. You know your heart. You know what you fight. I know what I fight. I know what's ugly. The heart is described in many different ways within the Bible. We don't have time to read them all in detail. Brethren, before Passover, we just need to stop where we are and sit down and begin to think and to meditate about our own heart. What comes out of my heart? Good or bad? Does it honor God or dishonor God? Is it coming more out of the carnal, fleshly heart that we've agreed to bury? Or is more things coming out of our heart that is what God is building within us? He has called us out of the world to be holy, to be acceptable to Him. God has allowed us to know Him, and we have been taught His laws. It's been put into our mind and written on our heart. As we submit to God, He is the master potter. We are the hunk of clay. It's dirty. It's ugly. It needs cleaned. It needs cleaned up. He is a master potter. We are the clay. We must never, ever forget that. It's not who we are. It's not what we do. It's not us patting ourselves on the back. We are the clay. He's molding us. He's developing our core. He's developing our character that is within our heart. It's being developed to look like Him, to think like Him, to be merciful like Him, to show love like Him. We are learning to make decisions with a new heart day by day. We are learning to have pure thoughts come from our core instead of tainted thoughts. We're beginning to apply godly understanding as God continues to teach us. We are to begin to take on the traits of God that comes from our core, down deep, of who and what we become. We must be desiring to submit to God so that we can be acceptable to Him. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. Here in Isaiah 55, we're going to see that God is the one in complete control of you and of me. We must have faith. We must believe with all of our core, with all of our heart, that God will lead us through every situation that we have to face, every weakness that we have, every sin that we have to face. Let's read here in Isaiah chapter 55, and beginning in verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Eternal. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Brethren, in our minds, the potter is lifted up, and the hunk of clay is pushed down. We must admit that we are nothing without God. We must come to the point in our life that we truly love God's ways and God's instructions and God, what God is doing within us. So what was God's purpose? What is God teaching us about the evil, hardened heart? What's He telling us? We read the negative. We see what He's striving to do within us. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. Let's read what it says here. What Paul was inspired to write in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For He says to Moses, "I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion." President, have you ever asked, why did God call me? Why did he call you? Why did he have compassion on us? Why is he showing mercy to us right now and not Vladimir Putin or others out there in the world? Verse 16. So then it is not of him who wills, doesn't matter about us who wills, nor of him who runs, but what really matters is but of who God who shows the mercy. It's God's decision. He's the potter. He's the one that decides who to show mercy. Verse 17. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose, I have raised you up, Pharaoh, that I might show my power in you, that my name might be declared in all the earth. Pharaoh hardened his heart. But you can go back and read, God hardened it further for his own purpose, to show his power. Verse 18, therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? Why do we still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Do we give excuses? Why have you made me like this? Verse 21, does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? God has a great plan for all human beings. He's showing mercy on a few of us now. He's going to show mercy on more during the millennium. He's going to show more mercy on billions when the last great day is fulfilled. We are being taught here a very valuable lesson about our heart. If any human being thinks we know what we are doing, of and by ourselves, and not relying on God, we begin to harden our heart. That needs repenting. It would not be acceptable to God. This is like Pharaoh, who thought he was God of the world at that time, and he hardened his heart. He would not bow down and submit to the great God. The huge lesson is this: if we don't totally submit our core of who and what we are, down deep in our heart, if we aren't that true living sacrifice, submitting our heart to God, then we're not going to show holiness. And we won't be acceptable to God. We will begin to harden our heart and go a wrong direction because we begin to be led by the wrong, evil, and wicked heart that's not put to death. God could then choose, as he did with Pharaoh, to harden us further, to let us go for his own purpose, to do whatever down in the future. But once God shows you mercy, once he shows me mercy, do you think he wants to undo that? Think he's playing games with us? I don't. I have a belief in what he's doing. I have faith in what he's doing with us. God expects us to be vessels of mercy, with hearts that can be molded and developed. We never want to set our heart against God, above God, because God will not react in a good way, will not be acceptable to him. Brethren, God desires our heart to be humble, to be softened, to be pliable, and teachable. We must submit to God and have faith, totally believing in our master potter, that he's going to mold me in the shape that he so desires. What is our role as that hunk of clay? To submit ourselves to our master potter, to be that living sacrifice, striving to be holy, striving to live our life so we can be acceptable to God. In Proverbs 4 and verse 23, you don't have to turn there, I'm going to paraphrase this. Proverbs 4 verse 23, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Think about it. Who and what we are, down to our core, in our heart, everything flows from it. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Let's go to Isaiah chapter 57. Here we're going to read what God expects of our heart. Down deep, who and what we are. Not just tripping up. I'm not talking about tripping up and sinning. I'm talking who and what we are, down to our character, where our desires and our decisions and our choices are made. Isaiah 57, and let's read here in verse 15. It says, "For thus says the High and the Lofty One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Who is God desiring us to be? Humble, contrite. He will revive our heart, it says. He will revive the spirit of the humble. Here, God's desire is for us to have this humble and contrite core, down deep, our character. God loves to heal a heart of one that is humble, submissive to Him. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 66. Over just a few pages. Let's read what he says here in Isaiah 66 in verse 2. It says, "For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Eternal. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." We have to ask, how much does that description describe me? As we prepare to examine ourselves before Passover, we must desire to be this humble and contrite person who trembles at the instructions of God. Brethren, that behavior would be described by God to be holy, and it would be acceptable to Him. We can read in Psalm 51 about David as he was repenting from the sin of Bathsheba. You know, that's what we all remember with David. David had a heart that was way more than that one event in his life. David asked God to clean his heart up when he sinned then. David desired a broken and a contrite heart. We can read in the Bible that David was a man after God's own heart, there in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. We won't turn there today. But I would like to turn to a few scriptures to get a feel of where David's heart was. Where was his core? What was his thoughts focused on? What was his mindset? Let's go to Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34. Here we can read about David's heart many years before the well-known sin with Bathsheba. Where was his focus? Psalms 34, beginning in verse 1. It says, I will bless the Eternal at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Eternal. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Eternal with me, and let us exalt his name together. Down to verse 12. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Eternal are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Down in verse 18, David continues, the Eternal is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Eternal delivers him out of them all. This was coming from David. He had a true love for God and God's instructions. He focused on it. His mindset was focused on God. David understood what God was teaching him. He was teaching them a new heart. What you were reading was coming from that new heart that God was molding and shaping within David. David clearly understood that God draws close to the person who was humble. Let's go to Psalm chapter 73. Another scripture describing David. Psalm chapter 73, and begin in verse 21. Psalm 73 and verse 21. It says, thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail. My God is the strength of my heart and my portion forevermore. David recognized God was the strength of that new heart. When he failed, it vexed him. It hurt him. He admitted his sin. He confessed it. God wiped it clean. Let's go to Psalms chapter 51 now. This was after Bathsheba. This was his response after the adulterous thing with Bathsheba and killing her husband. A heinous crime. Horrible. Brethren, I try to read this scriptures right here as we sit down at the Passover before the minister begins the service. Trying to be in this mindset that David used as he described himself, as he saw the sin that was within him. Psalm 51, let's begin reading in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Here David admitted his sin, confessed his sin before God. God cleaned it. wiped it clean. He later described him as a man after God's own heart. Verse 3. I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Down to David's core, he understood that. Verse 7, David asked him to purge me with hyssop. Hyssop was used to clean up leprosy back in the day. David says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Catch verse 10 here. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. What a beautiful heart being described in this human being named David. He wasn't rejecting God and trying to lift up his pride before God. He wasn't giving all the excuses of why this and why that. He wasn't justifying his sins. He sinned. And when God made it known to him, look at his response. Look at the heart of David. God used David as an example for all of us, even showing his weakest point in his life, most likely, for all human beings to know. David had a humble, broken, and a contrite heart. Brethren, we've mentioned contrite many times. What's that mean? We don't use it much in today's English. What is a contrite heart? One of the meanings is being able to recognize our sins, admitting them, confessing them to God in this case. It means being humble and teachable, being that hunk of clay that's pliable, allowing God to mold us into the shape that He wants. It means when we hit bottom at times in our life, and all of us will, that we recognize that only God can help us get up and turn things around. We're not going to do it ourselves. It's God that we rely on, that we have this belief in, we have this faith in, that the ancient Israelites didn't have. For final scripture, let's go to Matthew chapter 5. This is the Beatitudes here. One of the Beatitudes talked about the heart. Let's read here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, the clean heart. It shows what God has done with us in our core. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Brethren, if we can be a living sacrifice, submit ourselves to God, striving to follow His instructions in this being described as holy in God's eyes, being acceptable to God. Can you imagine the day in our future when we will be able to see God face to face and thank Him for rescuing us from this? I think God is giving us a belly full of what sin is and the results of sin in this world today. Brethren, as we begin to approach Passover here in less than a few weeks, let's don't forget to examine our heart. God desires for us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, to be holy, to be acceptable to God. God desires that we are receptive of His teaching and grow in faith in Him. Believe Him with all of our heart. God recorded examples in the Bible, the good, the bad, the ugly, as well as the good, for our learning. God makes it clear that He's looking for a humble, broken, and a contrite heart in us. Remember, God is the potter. We are the hunk of dirty clay. Before Passover, let's do an honest examination of our heart.